I invite you to turn with me to the passage we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And the text that the Lord has drawn me to is actually the text that is below this pulpit. Verses 5-6. And also I understand it's actually the text that's on your website as well. And so it is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, I wonder, can you go back to a time when you received instruction and wisdom from your father, or even your mother? Maybe dad had to sit you down and give you counsel over something particular when you was in your youth. Maybe dad's wise words were needed to stop you from going down a wrong path. You didn't see the dangers, but your parents did. Maybe it was counsel for your future. Maybe it was wisdom for life circumstances and situations. Maybe guidance that would benefit you in your immediate case. Maybe your parents sat you down and told you what is the wrong way and what is the right way. And I wonder what your response was. Maybe it was like this: well, that's a bit restricted, isn't it? Well, that's a bit harsh. Or maybe you took the counsel as good and profitable and even proved it in your life. Maybe you didn't listen. And then after you said, Dad was right, Mum was right. And look at me now. Well, this passage is about a father giving his son instruction and wisdom. But also tonight, this is God's holy word. So this is your heavenly Father giving you instruction and wisdom tonight. By way of brief introduction to this book, the book of Proverbs is authored by a number of authors. Firstly, Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, who is the author of the chapter we are in, but also Agar and the men, and also an unknown author in the last chapter. And the book contains somewhat 915 verses of wisdom literature, known as Proverbs, which are short sayings of biblical truth and wise counsel that are always in date. No man, no culture can ever take away the profound truth of the wisdom that is contained in this book. As these short sayings touch on the very aspect of our reality as we live upon this earth, and as we walk a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of this book is actually found in the opening chapter of Proverbs chapter 1, which in chapter 1 verses 2-6, it reads, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, and to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And verse 7 serves the reader as a guiding principle that is to be grasped throughout the book, and that is this: the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, chapter 1 at verse 8 starts with, "Hear my son." Chapter 2 also says, "My son." And in chapter 3 again, it starts with, "My son." And so, as we've already expressed, this is a parental request to the son, that the son would be able, in the fear of the Lord, to gain knowledge or instruction in the truth from his parents. And then with the instruction to apply wisdom on how to live out the godly instruction that he has received. And so it's in this third request we find ourselves with the call to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. And firstly, I want us to see that we are, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. To trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." First, notice the command to trust. And what does the word trust mean? What is its biblical definition? Well, it means to have confidence. It means to have confidence. It conveys the idea to have full rest or to fully rely on something. One commentator said on the word trust, he said this: the word translated trust in verse 5 means to lie helpless, face down. And what it's picturing there is, it's picturing a servant waiting for the master's command in readiness to obey. Or a defeated soldier yielding himself to the conquering general. So we could say denial of self or upon something or anything else. It's a trust, it's a confidence, a reliance. But notice it's not a suggestion here. Or it's not optional for the believer. It's a command and it's in the imperative. This is vital for the Christian. And it demands an immediate response and calls each one of us here today to trust or to have confidence in such a way that changes our wills to action. And that action is wholehearted confidence upon the one true and living God. Without confidence in our Lord, we will find ourselves in anxiety and in fear. It can be suggested that when fear enters a man's heart, and that fear cripples him, he has begun to stop, or has stopped trusting in the Lord. Having a confidence in our Lord, having a trust upon our God, we can be at peace. Because we have surrendered to the Lord and who he is. The Lord is worthy to be trusted. He is worthy to be trusted. The text says, trust, but in whom do you trust? Because it's not just trust, it's trust in who? Who is it that we can fully trust and have total confidence in? Because we can all trust in someone or something, or even have a confidence in ourselves. In Isaiah's day, God's people turned from trusting him to Egypt's resources. Isaiah 31 verse 1 reads, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." So, in whom do you trust? Well, notice the little word "in." When you trust someone or trust something, you put your place, your confidence in something. Trust has an object, because you're putting your trust in something. But as a believer, the object is the most of importance. True trust or confidence of a believer is not of his own, or someone else, or even in his own planning, or in his own achievements, or schemes, or credentials. James 4, if memory serves me right, the people were boasting about tomorrow. And the Lord reminds them that they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And they put their trust in them, in themselves. It was somewhat practical atheism. They rendered in their own hearts that they could go to such and such a place and earn such and such a profit. But the Lord reminded them that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And he said to them, we should actually be thinking and saying, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see, when our hearts are in line with somewhat the will of God, there we can have trust and confidence that the Lord knows every step that we take. And it shows that we have surrendered to his will. But it is in the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existing one. I am who I am. It's trust in the Lord. The writer is saying that have confidence in the one who is independent from all other things, who existed before all things, and through him all things exist. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so, Christian, we are called to trust in the Lord, to depend on God, who doesn't depend on anything else or anybody else. This Lord is the self-sufficient one. He is self-existent, having life in and of himself. He is the powerful one. He is almighty. He does not change. He existed before the creation. He lives forever. He knows all things. And he keeps his promises. This is the one whom we are called to trust. At the very beginning of your conversion, as you were born again, and as the Lord gave you the very gifts of repentance and faith, and you trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trusted your life upon him for the forgiveness of your sins. That initial trust moves through the whole of your life. You're called to trust him forever, for your days upon earth. We're not to stop trusting him. We are to be ones who continually trust him for everything. We are to be ones who trust him in our growth in grace, as he sanctifies us and conforms us into his image. We are ones to trust him when difficulty comes and circumstances come, when the storms of life come rushing in. And sometimes our trust gets tested. Sometimes the storms that we go in, the circumstances that we have to face, the difficult situations that we have to bear, we learn once again what it means to continually to trust upon the Lord in this circumstance, in that circumstance. And we are to be ones who cast the burden upon the Lord. For he cares for us. When we don't cast, when we don't throw it upon the Lord, then it shows that we are not trusting him. When we turn our own way, it shows that we somewhat don't believe that he is able to uphold us. Well, we are called to trust in the Lord with all your heart. But with what do we trust? What manner should the believer trust in the Lord with? Is it a part of him or part of us? Maybe you think it's just an intellectual process that actually never really reaches or affects the will or disposition. No. Is it a trust that you can kind of pick up and choose? You may think that you don't need to trust the Lord in certain aspects of your life. Maybe your trust is half-hearted, while trusting something else, or you're straddling the fence, divided in mind and heart, thinking you're trusting in him, but underneath, actually, you're not. In fact, you may even find yourself like the people in Elijah's day, when the people had to make a decision who they would follow wholeheartedly. And what did Elijah say to them? How long will you go limping between two different opinions? That's no trust at all, is it? Limping along in half-hearted trust, because the text says, with all your heart. And yet in the Christian life, we do find ourselves limping between two opinions in some respects. but we need not. Because the Word of God gives us great counsel. And sometimes we battle with the flesh. And we battle with our own understanding, as we will come to see. What it means is, it means that the whole of the inner man is to trust God, because he's in a personal relationship with God Almighty, which includes your intellect. It includes your mind, or knowledge about the truth. But also the affections are affected and directed towards God. As the person believes wholeheartedly upon the Lord, man's will, man's volition is affected. Because when a man is truly trusting in the Lord, he is becoming somewhat dependent upon him. And from the heart, he relies upon God for everything. Entrusts his holy word through life's pathway. And see, this is where the Lord wants us to be, beloved. He wants us to be dependent upon him in every aspect of life. Because without him, we can actually do nothing. I only woke up this morning because he gave me breath. And so I'm in need of him every day. If I was left to myself, where would I be? A man still in his sin, just like you would be. But he wants us to be dependent upon him for everything through life. To not be dependent upon him, you would be trusting upon something else or yourself. But he wants you to be dependent upon him. We have to trust him. And can you trust him in your life? Have you even proven in your own life what it means to trust the Lord? Verse 5 reveals more insight to what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. Simply put, trust not on your own understanding. And here's the warning, believer. To trust in the Lord with all your heart requires that you do not lean on your own understanding. The words "do not lean" means do not support oneself. Do not support oneself with your own understanding. Or do not trust or rely on your own understanding. How many of us have thought that we know when in fact we don't know, and we have leaned on what we thought was right, but in fact it was wrong and not of the Lord? All of us, we have all been in that position. How many of us have taken action according to our own understanding, but have not taken the time to seek the Lord and his word for direction? How many of us have been quick to pursue without consulting the Lord? To lean on your own understanding and support our lives by trusting in self or something, or something else, will bring chaos into our lives. huge consequences can come by leaning on our own understanding. Though the Lord forgives, we still may have to deal with consequences of our sins. Our knowledge, our understanding, our own wisdom as human beings is limited. And it is corrupted by our sin. And leaning on self will bring a fall, beloved. Do not lean upon what you think you might know, but lean upon what you do know in His Word. What happened in the garden with Adam and Eve? God told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You see, what did God do? God gave them instruction for their good. But after Eve was deceived by the serpent, they chose not to trust and fear God. And so they leaned upon their own understanding and ate and committed sin. And when we lean on our own understanding in some sort of way, and we all do this to a certain extent, we actually reveal what is actually going in on the heart. Because this is a heart issue. And it is sin. Because we see our own way better than the Lord's. What we really say is, if we're leaning on our own understanding, we're somewhat independent and not dependent upon the Lord. In fact, see our own way is better. And therefore, what we are really essentially doing is we distrust Him. We doubt Him. We lack faith. We have unbelief lurking in our hearts. But what happens when these things take up residence in our hearts? There would be that time that we would tend to lean on our own understanding and forget God's word. But we must not. You see, we must trust the Lord and trust His wisdom for life. As humans, we want to understand what is going on in our lives, don't we? We tend to get agitated when we can't comprehend what is going on. Or we can't make sense of it. We don't fully comprehend or understand the Lord's ways. Especially when we find ourselves in the most difficult circumstances. When we come to the position where, oh, I never thought that was going to happen. But in those times, all we can do is trust upon the sovereignty of our God. He is sovereign over everything in our lives. What do we read this morning? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord's will, beloved, is that we would be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And we would lean upon Him. That we would support ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who defeated sin, death, and hell. Well, we come secondly to verse 6, and it is this: trusting the Lord in every course of life. Trusting the Lord in every course of life. It says, in your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How can you, believer, trust in the Lord in every course of life? Well, firstly, the text teaches us that we are to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. But notice it's not some of your ways. It is all your ways. The very course of your life, in small, in large things, whether that would be on the mountaintops, whether that would be in the valleys, whether it would be through many dangers, whether it be through suffering, whether it be in the storms of life, whether it would be through persecution, whether it be through hardships, whether it be in the pathway full of obstacles, whether it be making tough decisions for the future, in the business, in family, the church, your walk with the Lord, as he grows you by grace, in the very hour of temptation, in all your ways, in everything, the call for the Christian tonight is to acknowledge him. To acknowledge Christ. In everything. As soon as we stop acknowledging him, then we can see in our own lives a decline of trust upon him. If we're not acknowledging him, then it is a sign that we're trusting in something else. Look at the churches in Revelation, the ones who Christ called to repent. Why? They began to lean on their own understanding. They begin to lean on different teachings. They began to move away from Christ because they were on a different pathway. And if they didn't return to the Lord, then the Lord would remove the lampstand. You see, when we lean on our own understanding, it can lead us down to some difficult pathways. The right mind, the right understanding is to acknowledge God. And so the question comes, do you acknowledge God in your life? Do you acknowledge God in your life? Or is there an area in your life that you need to acknowledge him in? Is he the one whom you go to? Is it he whom you run for counsel to? For guidance? For insight? For living a godly life in Christ Jesus. Do you ask of him? Do you seek him? Do you ask him to lead you in the plans he has for you? Do you desire to do his will and to obey his word and to surrender to him in all things? You remember David's charge to Solomon said, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. And he said, be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. You see, Solomon had to seek him. Like we are called to seek him and acknowledge him in everything in our lives. We must go to him in prayer and bow before him and know of his sweet counsel and direction. In all your ways, acknowledge him. There's nothing that is in your way that doesn't demand you to acknowledge him. What a blessing it is, and a great comfort to us as believers. Again, another invitation to the Lord, from the Lord, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Well, secondly, underneath that second heading, we see direction. Direction. It says, and he shall direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. The Lord promises that he will make straight your paths, or direct your paths. And so what is it, dear friend, this evening that you need to trust the Lord in? Well, we've read, haven't we, in all your ways. But maybe tonight, for a word in season, what is it that may be something particular on the heart that the Lord is calling you to trust upon him? Something particular? Your case before the Lord? What's on your heart? Do you have a spiritual concern? Are you struggling with sin and temptation? Then you are to go to Christ. You are to tell him. Ask him for help. Trust him in his word, for he will direct your paths, and he will direct your moral paths. You see, the Lord is able to straighten your paths and set you straight when you acknowledge him. We ask the Lord to deal with every sin and every failing. Maybe it's a concern for the future and the plans of the Lord in your life. Should I stay? Should I go? Should I get involved? Should I join? Should I move forward? Should I enter in a particular service of the Lord? Whatever it may be, I ask you this. Have you known his leading? Have you come to ask him to lead you in the way you ought to go? And if he has spoken, will you trust in the Lord wholeheartedly? Will you have confidence in your God who is in control and knows best for you? You see, the one who trusts in the Lord is blessed. Is blessed. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. These are beautiful words. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green and has no worries in a year of drought. Why? Because he trusts in the Lord. He trusts in the Lord. It says that you, dear Christian, will be like a tree planted by water. And its roots will send out, will spread to the stream. And when the heat comes, there's a continual help from the Lord given to keep you going on and trusting him in the way that you ought to go. It reminds me of Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates it day and night. And notice what he's going to be like. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. We will be like a tree planted by water. And through the word of God, we will be replenished and filled because we are ones who trust upon the Lord. Even though the way may seem obscure to you, but in the purposes of God, they are right. And it's just simple, isn't it? We are to have a childlike faith. Just to depend upon and trust the Lord in every step of the way. And we think of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth. His perfect way of life. How did he conduct himself in all of his ways? And he trusted upon his Father, didn't he? For everything. For absolutely everything. You see, unlike Adam, who didn't trust God, God's word in the garden, the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, when he was tempted by the devil, he trusted God in his word. You see, he had full confidence and trust in the truth of God's word and declared, it is written. And at the end, the devil left him. Well, what an example to us that the Lord Jesus Christ trusted upon the written word of God and used the very word of God in every pathway of his life. May we, by his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, do the same, beloved. We are called to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen.